This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
And today we are actually on remote. We are at U.S. Airways, formerly known as now Talking Stick Resort, known as something else down the road. All of the changes in terms of naming rights and all that stuff aside, we're here because there's a lot going on here today at the arena. We're brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. Appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support. Eric's just jumping in as well because we both felt like, with everything going on with Kyrie Irving and the Suns have a press conference today, not about Kyrie, but they do have a press conference coming up at 11:40 where Alan Williams, you're like staring into the camera.
I'm not sure where exactly to look. I keep looking at us, but I really have to look
just,
up there.
Just don't even.
I wish they were introducing Kyrie Irving.
So you're into that. But there's also another deal going on. So Sean Miller and Dan Majerle are both going to be here today.
Two coaches that have great respect for one another, by the way.
I just wish they play at GCU.
Not gonna happen. Nope.
So GCU has a major press conference today with the U of A. And those of you that have watched us and have heard us through the years know full well that we are of the stance that all the in-state schools should be playing one another. NAU should be playing, in my view, NAU should be playing both ASU and U of A every year. In my opinion, GCU should be playing against ASU, U of A, NAU every year. What do you know? U of A and GCU, while they're not playing one another from what we're hearing, are going to have a doubleheader here at the arena in late November. And they will announce this later today. We've written about this. We believe that it will be Texas A&M and St. John's that will be the teams. We can be wrong on that. Won't be the first time. We'll be the last. But nonetheless, two major stories here today at the arena. And then I'm going to walk across the street to the Diamondbacks, and Eric and I tonight are going to be doing a dinner thing with Larry Fitzgerald.
Yep. Should be fun. Should be a fun day.
But that way we have nothing going on.
It's a slow Wednesday. No, it's actually not. I wonder what the appeal is for St. John's to fly all the way across the country.
They kind of have another game out here, like play up at
– Yeah, that's true. I guess they could combine it if they're playing a team in California or something.
Play UNLV. They're playing UNLV, right? So that comes up at 11 o'clock. We're going to have Isaac Bruce on the show today as we continue counting down towards Kurt Warner going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, a wide receiver that should be. He was a Hall of Fame finalist this last season for voting. We'll have Isaac Bruce at 10:35.
Yeah, he's not here. We taped it. So.
Yeah, he's not here. He's not walking through. He's not walking through that door.
Not.
Kyrie is not walking through that door.
That we're aware of? No, he's not.
No. I think the news of the day, so we have done this show today for the last 5 years. We have been live at Pac-12 Football Media Day. And this year we looked at one another I looked at everything and said, we don't look at one another. Cause you would have beat me over the head on this, I think. And I said, you know what? We're not going this year. And look, ASU and U of A are in prove it mode. That's it. They are in prove-it mode. The Pac-12 football media poll came out this morning. I know you're going to say it's media polls, so what? But USC was overwhelming the team to beat in the Pac-12 South.
Not surprising.
Stanford has 16 starters returning. They were picked over on the north side along with Washington. Washington in front of them and Stanford. ASU was picked to finish next to last, and U of A was picked to finish last.
Also not surprising. Everything I've read this offseason from the so-called experts had the exact same. ASU second to last, U of A last, or vice versa. But most of it was ASU and then U of A.
And of all the teams, U of A was picked below everybody, even Cal. So we're not there, but that doesn't mean we're not going to talk about it because Larry Scott did say some interesting things this morning that we will get to as the show progresses today. But I think starting with the Suns. Do we go Brandon Knight first? Do we go Kyrie Irving? Do we do Alan Williams? It's good to get a bit of good news out there with Alan Williams. He's going to be introduced later this morning.
Oh, I thought you were going to say with Brandon Knight. But I guess that's really not good news. When you're paying some guy $45 million, he doesn't want to be there. You really don't want him here. Now he's untradeable.
If we're thinking about bad contracts, you guys have heard this, right? That Brandon Knight tore his ACL, and he's done for the upcoming season. And they owe him $40+ million.
Over the next 3 years.
And even before that, he wasn't worth it.
No.
If I'm thinking of contracts that through the years, contracts that you look at in anything here in Phoenix, any player at all in Phoenix, doesn't matter what sport, this would have to go down as one of the worst of worst contracts ever. And, you know, it's one of those things where they made a big commitment to him. They thought they were catching lightning in a bottle. You go back and look at that trade, it'll be one of the worst ever to go down in Suns history, maybe even in Valley history. Try to think who else had a big number.
Oh, there's plenty. Josh Childress.
Well, Hakeem Warrick was not a good deal.
I'm thinking other sports. Russ Ortiz with the Diamondbacks.
Russ Ortiz, that was not a good guy. Russ is a good guy.
Very good guy.
It's not that these guys aren't good guys.
Yeah, it's not their fault. The players signed the contract.
Signed the contract.
They didn't pay the contracts. They just signed them.
And, of course, in the NFL, you can just cut a guy.
Right.
Just see you later. That's why all that matters with the when it comes to NFL contracts is the signing bonus. So, you know, when there are players that have come and gone here in Phoenix that we've seen through the years, it just didn't work out. Matt Leinart just didn't work out. But Matt Leinart was not a $40 million+. And if you're the Suns, do you just cut him and write a check? Do you actually go to that length? Because who's going to trade for Brandon Knight with a torn ACL? So he's going to take up all this space. He's going to take up all those zeros down the line. And we're never going to see him play here again, I don't think.
I mean, I would think this year they keep him on the books. And then a year from now, or as soon as the season ends, and if they're looking 1-2 years down the line trying to get a max guy or two max guys. But you're right. I mean, his value when healthy because of that contract was probably a second-round pick.
If he had a year left, there'd be people all over him right now because it's an expiring contract.
Yes.
So you have to look at it from the business side, guys. An expiring contract like Brandon Knight would be an enormous poker chip to use right now. But it's not.
Yeah.
It's just not. In terms of Kyrie Irving, so this morning in Cleveland, I was actually listening to some sports talk in Cleveland on my way in. It's the beauty of apps in this day and age and being digital. And then just reading some stuff that's out there. So Kyrie Irving being moved, when they give Derrick Rose $2 million, even though Derrick Rose wanted $140 million a year ago, the Cavaliers moved in a hurry to go get somebody, right? So, and Kyrie has now let it known that he wants to be out of Cleveland. He's put these lists of teams out there. I think there's some mitigating circumstances. And one of them is Carmelo Anthony. So Carmelo Anthony, to this point, Cleveland would like to get Carmelo Anthony. But Carmelo Anthony, if I'm to believe what I'm hearing from people whose opinions I respect, not just a couple of yahoos on the radio, that Carmelo still wants to go to Houston. But here are the Suns. They're willing to part with Eric Bledsoe, which would be a smart move on the Suns' part. They're willing to part with these first-round picks from Miami, which would be a smart move on the Suns' part. I think the Suns have had a really good offseason. But anybody who thinks that just automatically trading for Kyrie Irving is going to fix all the Suns' ills, other than it's going to give them some buzz, getting a team buzz, if that's the main reason why you're doing business is to build buzz, then you shouldn't be in the business. When you do things like trying to build buzz, that's when you make mistakes on contracts. It's when you go sign players that you shouldn't sign. But there's no question that you should at least consider, to me at least, trading Josh Jackson and trading Eric Bledsoe to bring Kyrie Irving here, the Suns would be relevant in the marketplace.
True. I'm really torn on
this.
Well, I'm really torn on this because our guy Greg Esposito
coined
the
Espinoza.
Very, now very, very popular hashtag, the timeline. Okay.
Yes.
So
he's the founder of that.
So, and everyone's stealing it, including us, but he's kind of a part of us, so I guess we can. So
he's an arm and a leg.
How does bringing Kyrie Irving disrupt the timeline? Or does that not matter if you can get a point guard who's 25 years old in his prime, who's an elite scorer, doesn't play a lot of defense, but could have him for 2 years? I would not trade Josh Jackson and Eric Bledsoe for Kyrie. But if you sat here and we chatted long enough, you could probably talk me into it.
So why haven't we heard names like Chris? So, see, I'm of this mindset.
You mean in the trade discussions?
Yes. Yes, I mean, look, it's fine to go get Dragan Bender and it's fine to go get Chris. You're going to have to give up talent. And if anybody's like, well, yeah, they should just give up Eric Bledsoe and Tyson Chandler and that'll get Kyrie Irving. That's why you're not working in sports. That's just not realistic. So when message boards put up stuff like that, that's why message boards have so little credibility. Oh, that sounds great. Yeah, we'll trade Brandon Knight and Eric Bledsoe, and that's where it's going to get us. No. So you're going to have to give up talent.
Assuming the Suns would make that trade as quickly as possible.
Sure.
Give that to the league office now.
But in all seriousness, Eric, when you look at – you have Josh Jackson, which to me is a more valued piece than Chris. Could Chris turn out to be a terrific player? He could. Terrific players don't just have highlight dunks and show a little bit of progress, but still always get in foul trouble and have a problem with technical fouls out on the court, controlling their emotions. You know, he may turn out to be a great player. Josh Jackson, I think, if you put Kyrie Irving and you have Devin Booker and you have Josh Jackson, that's a really good three to build around.
It is.
Versus if you have, you're not trading Devin Booker. You can have anybody on my roster except Devin Booker and Josh Jackson. You can have anybody on my roster.
It's such a double-edged sword because these kids are so young, and they are kids. I mean, Bender and Chris and Jackson, and we know what Booker is.
Right.
He's far, far more polished than the players I mentioned. But you would just hate to, yeah, we'll just part with one of these. And then in 2-3 years, when they get stronger, they get more mature, they get more experience, they turn into elite players. Like if Chris becomes the next Amari, and if
sure,
and if Dragan becomes the next Dirk or something similar to that mold.
Because so, but look, if you're going to go get Kyrie Irving, let's just go through the bodies here. So you have Kyrie, you have Booker, you have Chris, you have Jackson. If you want to keep those four together, so where is Bender fit in here, right? If Bender's the next Dirk, are you saying that you're going to put those five together? Is that your core group of players?
It's a really young core.
It's a really young core. Young. And you're only going to have a limited window with Kyrie Irving. And then you're also going to have Devin Booker, who's going to sit over to the side as his clock keeps ticking with years on his deal. And yeah, I know in the NBA you make the most money in one city. But you always have to be sending a message to your core players. We value what you are, not just today, but we have a plan for 5 or 6 years from now. So if you've got to make the big trade, then go ahead and part with one of these young guys. How many young guys can you have from that three? Jackson, Chris, Bender. How many of those?
In terms of how many do the Suns keep or how many?
Yes. If you keep two of those three, so figure out from those three, I'm going to part with one of these three.
Right.
Okay. And I'm going to part with that pick from Miami. And I'm going to part with Eric Bledsoe. I'm going to get Kyrie Irving here. Not only do I have a point guard to run the show, who is, I wouldn't say the best at his position. I'd take Chris Paul over Kyrie Irving. There's some others I would take too. Steph Curry, obviously. But I think if you put that group together, now Kyrie Irving can go recruit. Star players are going to go recruit. That's what the Suns don't have.
But can Kyrie recruit? Like, what is the... Do other players want to come play with Kyrie? Other players want to come play with LeBron and Steph. Does he still have that? Does he have that draw? That draw to come. We're going to go to Phoenix and do something special. And
I could go to Golden State. I go to Houston.
Sure.
So we're going to get back into that in a bit. There's some things going on around the Diamondbacks, around the NFL today. CTE that came out yesterday. And an interesting local story about where to play a championship football game. We'll get to all of that. We'll also have Isaac Bruce later on in the show as we're live today at the Suns Arena. Suns have a press conference at about 11:40. Coming up at 11 o'clock, Dan Marley and Sean Miller, GCU and U of A, big announcement, going to play a doubleheader here at the Talking Stick Resort. We're going to be covering that as well. Sports360AZ.com. Don't forget our football show tonight. Fox Sports Arizona, appreciate our partnership with them. 16 airings this week. Marshall Falk, one of our guests. Eric will be on with Haley doing their thing out in the community with AZ Audibles. And we're back with more after this time out. Brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. Welcome back. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Eric and I today down here at the arena. The Suns have a press conference That is coming up at 11:40 for Alan Williams being back with the team. That's no surprise. At least Alan's part of this press conference.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. If it's,
I'm sure that's what it is.
It's got to be, hey, AFC, welcome back.
Earl Watson, Ryan McDonough, and Alan Williams.
Yeah.
I think the big sauce is back.
I think it's Alan saying, this is my pitch to Kyrie to come to the Suns.
I don't think that's going to be brought up today.
The first question, somebody's going to say to him, hey, so this Kyrie stuff. And he's going to be like, I wonder if, like, before it starts, there's going to be this, we're here to talk today about Alan Williams. We can only talk about Alan Williams. We cannot talk about whatever else is out there.
Well, and the media should know better. Isn't that tampering?
They should.
I mean,
they should.
You can't ask about another player on another team.
They should.
Yeah.
So, not just.
We've seen and heard worse.
We have. Even just recently, we've heard and seen. All right. So, the other thing that is happening here is Grand Canyon University, and we're pretty excited. GCU is back partnering with us again here at sports360az.com, and we're excited about that. We're going to start our Talk to the Lopes show with them again, as we've done in years past. And beyond that, it's big news day for them. So Dan Marley and Sean Miller coming up at 11 o'clock. Eric's going to head up to that. I'll head up after the show is over. The two of them are going to talk about playing a doubleheader here. I have said for years and years, even back to the days when I was doing Arizona State Color with the late Tom Dillon, that our state, from a college basketball point of view, and just a basketball point of view, as good as the Suns brand has been through the years until just, you know, the last rough patch, and I'm being kind, there's never been like this big buzz to try to make college basketball what it needs to be until the last years. We brought a Final Four here. It went great. But why wouldn't U of A come to the Valley to play more than just the game against ASU? Why would they not do that? And so Greg Byrne, I would have to believe, is the one that started the momentum on this before he left. And Sean's got a team this coming year that is going to be a top two, top three team. There's no question about it. Unfortunately for Sean Miller, he's going to be that coach. There's always that coach that's got to prove that they can get to a Final Four and win it. And that's where he is with his program.
Or get to a Final Four. I think getting to a Final Four would silence a lot of those critics, because he's gotten so close, especially the last few years, not these past couple of years, but previously with the Elite Eights and barely losing to Wisconsin. But for me, if he makes it to a Final Four, the monkey is not off the back, but the silence, the critics need to be silenced a little bit.
So, but from the Valley point of view, and I'm all about what's going on statewide, as are you, I think this type of event needs to be something that happens year after year. Build the momentum. Dan will take his team. GCU will go to Tucson, and they'll play Sean, and they'll be expected to lose.
Played them last year and played them pretty well.
They'll be expected in national circles to lose. But as they get better, like, I'm looking at their schedule this year, GCU's schedule, it's already becoming harder for them to attract the Louisvilles of the world. San Diego State played them, and what happened? Their coach.
Right.
New Mexico played them. What happened to their coach?
Right.
Boom. Rick Pitino, and he's not coming back.
No, he was pretty animate about it. He's not coming back.
He's not coming back. And this has to do with the atmosphere and the environment at GCU. So you come here, and that environment, are they going to bring 19,000? You figure between the Purple Rain of GCU.
I mean, the Havocs will easily make the trip across town. And it's really not even across town. I mean, how far is GCU from downtown?
They can walk, ride their bikes.
7 to 8 miles.
What do you think, 10,000?
I would think 10, 12,000 easily.
Okay, so, and then you're going to have U of A, and we know how that works. You know,
especially here in the Valley. I mean, go to an ASU U of A game in Tempe, and it's 50-50.
But you're going to have GCU purple, and you're going to have U of A red. And I would bet you're going to at least come close to filling up the entire arena. Because I'm sure that Brian Mueller over at GCU is going to put it down on his students and his teachers. You need to be at this. I'm sure of that. It's not like hammering over the head, but they've got this way of pushing people out within the community and to activate, you know, their brand.
I don't think they're going to fill the arena, but I think there'll be a very good crowd.
So what does the arena over there hold? 9?
No, I think it's like 7,500, 7,000.
Could hold 9, right?
No, I think it pretty much, I mean, they just expanded it.
They could hold 18 over there. Could.
They could.
Meaning there's enough interest now, I think.
I would think so, but they built it the right way.
Yeah. No, a small little – it's the Gonzaga.
You always want to start small and make it a little bigger.
Gonzaga model. It's kind of like us. Start small, make it bigger. There you go.
Start small and make it bigger.
Keep going. So I think this is a good – I know this is a good day. This is a good day. The other stuff that's going on around town, and then we'll take a break. We'll get over to Isaac Bruce. Actually, let's take a break here. I want to get into the Isaac Bruce segment. And then on the other side, there's some stuff going on here locally. I want to get into with the Diamondbacks and also what's going on the state football side of things. So we'll take a quick break here. We're live today out of the studio doing the show on remote, a pop-up show we like to call them, with a press conference in about 25 minutes for GCU and U of A here with Sean Miller and Dan Marley. And then the Suns with a press conference as well. The Diamondbacks right across the street playing a day game. A lot going on here in downtown Phoenix. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, our TV show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. Appreciate the partnership with them. And we're brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. Welcome back at the Arena Talking Stick Resort, where the Suns have a press conference today. GCU has a press conference today, along with the U of A. The GCU of A press conference comes up at 11 o'clock with Dan Marley and Wildcat head basketball coach Sean Miller. There will be a doubleheader being played here this year with GCU and with U of A. We've heard St. John's and Texas A&M would be the opponents. Not sure. U of A not playing GCU unless things change. That'd be great. I'd love to see them play each other again. But that is at 11. And then the Suns have a press conference at 11:40 with Alan Williams. And I'm sure there's going to be some questions about Kyrie Irving and trade talks to put to Ryan McDonough. And he's going to say things like, well, we're always listening. We're always have an open mind. And that's probably about as much as there's going to be that he can even say at this point. So there's going to be some stuff, some buzz, not just on the pro end with the Suns, but also more importantly with GCU and U of A. I think it's a great day to have those two brands playing one another. Now, Kurt Warner going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame next week in Canton, Ohio. And as we continue to count it down, we brought you guests like Marshall Faulk and Mike Martz from the St. Louis end of things. We talked with Larry Fitzgerald about Kurt going in here this week. And just the build-up towards it next week is when Kurt Warner goes into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We caught up earlier with Isaac Bruce, who was Warner's teammate in St. Louis, a Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist, Isaac Bruce.
So with the focus on the Cardinals opening up camp and also Kurt Warner going to be very much a part of the Cardinals preseason with him going into the Hall of Fame on Saturday, August 5th, we decided to reach out to some people of name recognition that were teammates of Kurt's along the way. Some will be with the Cardinals, others will be with the St. Louis and Los Angeles Rams. Of course, Kurt wasn't in L.A., but in St. Louis. The next voice that you will hear, a terrific wide receiver, a Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist, in my mind, a Hall of Famer. He is Isaac Bruce. Isaac Bruce Foundation in St. Louis, Fort Lauderdale, and Memphis joins us. Talk about where he is. Talk about Kurt a little bit. And we appreciate you coming on board, Isaac. How are you?
All is well, man. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Let's start with you first. And what are you up to these days post-NFL?
I've got a lot of different things going on. My family and I down in Fort Lauderdale, from ministry to construction to two very beautiful daughters that we're raising. So we're having fun doing that.
And the foundation in St. Louis, Fort Lauderdale, Memphis. Tell us about that and what your involvement is.
Well, it's continued to grow since it was established in 2006. We do health, wealth. We do fitness. We make sure that we participate in what we call Flight 300. It's a program where we help students to get back to the city where of their studies who can't afford transportation. So, you know, that's really taken off this summer as well. So it's real fun to just to continue to do what we do, making a positive impact in those cities that you mentioned, Fort Lauderdale, Memphis, and St. Louis.
And so post-NFL life has turned out great for you, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
That's great. Talking with Isaac Bruce and focusing on Kurt Warner now for a few minutes. Saturday, August 5th, going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And Isaac, great wide receiver, but you've got to have a great quarterback. I'm just wondering, on the surface, when did you feel like it connected with you and Kurt Warner?
I'd have to say, Kurt was really kind of under the radar. His first season in St. Louis really didn't get much playing time. It turned for him dramatically once Trent Green went down and the reins were passed over to Kurt. And I'd say probably around week eight of the 1999 season, you could start to see the maturation of Kurt as far as his delivery was concerned, his anticipation, just really getting a feel for what was happening on the football field. It's a difference from, going from the Arena League to being on a professional football team and really not getting many reps to all of a sudden being thrust into the spotlight. And it takes a little bit of getting used to, but, you saw that starting to happen for Kurt week in and week out. He got more and more comfortable in what he was doing.
And the year before, he was on the roster, but he was the third stringer, if I remember correctly. And then Trent Green, as you mentioned, goes down. That year previous, was he kind of a fish out of water? I mean, the third string quarterback's not out there with you every day. Can you take us back? Do you even remember what he was like first coming in on that roster?
Well, Kurt was a guy. He went about his business. He did his job. Showed up every day at practice. He was probably doing a lot more scout team at that time. Mm-hmm. You can see some qualities in him from the standpoint of a guy who, number one, he carried that characteristic of perseverance, just hearing from where he came from. First coming into the league in 1994 with Green Bay, then, having that time in the Arena League, you just saw the fight in that guy. And, just to hang around, and there's not many jobs in the NFL as far as quarterback is concerned, but to be in a position to be continue to be tutored by great coaches, and then when that opportunity comes after you prepared yourself, you took full advantage of it.
So was there a point of trying to earn your trust, your teammates' trust? It was a very talented group led by yourself, then Torrey Holt and Marshall Faulk comes in. Did he have to earn your trust and respect?
Well, you know what? We all go through that moment where you have to, prove yourself at a certain time. I mean, it may be at different moments, but every player, I guess every athlete in any sport, there's a moment where you have to go out and do and really perform for guys to trust you. It isn't a point where, you sit down and you have a verbal interview. It's always a physical interview. So once guys start to see you being able to perform under pressure, mm-hmm. I guess the anxieties melt away. And that kind of happened, like I said, around, week seven, week eight with Kurt. Guys were comfortable with him being the quarterback of the team at that time. And, you can see his comfort level, like I mentioned earlier, it started to rise. So, once his comfort level started to rise and he started making plays on the field, we noticed he could take a shot and still, get back up and deliver the football with accuracy. And you know what? You had no other choice but to trust the guy and say, okay, this is the new leader.
And you had Dick Vermeil and you had Mike Martz. And so you had, on the coaching side, you'd referred to him earlier, the coaching aspect of it. Did he grow under them? Did he grow under you guys out on the field? I think there's a difference in sports where, yeah, you're going to be coached up, but at the end of the day, you got to go perform mm-hmm. on the field. You got to get it done. And can you take us through that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, iron sharpens iron, and yep. another man sharpens another man. So yep. I believe in, if you start to hang around greatness. I mean, he had guys like Orlando Pace, the aforementioned Torrey Holt, Faulk, guys that were in that huddle who he could lean on. He could facilitate getting the football to. And, he had great coaches. Coach Martz, one of the greatest coaches in the history of our league. I mean, a guy who can coach any position on offense. And he was being tutored. He was tutoring Kurt and really brought Kurt up to the level where he was at his peak as being an MVP. I mean, just the knowledge that we hear coming from Coach Martz to Kurt, we all saw that, it was part of his growth. And then when he was able to take what he was learning from a meeting and transfer it to a football field, you know, he just kind of grew up right before our eyes, supernaturally.
Talking with Isaac Bruce, what were the intangibles in Kurt Warner?
Just the anticipation, competitive nature that he carried. Wasn't very vocal. I mean, I don't think he had to be initially when he came in, you know, with the veteran-laden offensive players that we had. But, you know, just his competitive nature, like I said, being able to take a shot, get up and still deliver passes with pinpoint accuracy, his ability to win football games, you know, those are some things that, you know, it can be taught, but some guys are just born with it.
The highlight, Isaac, that we're seeing a lot of around Kurt going into the Hall of Fame is the touchdown pass to you in Super Bowl 34. If you can take us back to that play and that moment for both of you in your careers.
Well, you know what? I'll focus on the part where Kurt was the big part of it, because, I mean, you know, he set an NFL Super Bowl record that game with yardage, with passing yards. He was taking a pounding in that game. You know, I think he had either had bruised or broken ribs that game, because Coach Fisher and the Titans were pretty much throwing everything at Kurt, everything they had. And they were actually touching Kurt that entire game. And for a guy to stand in that moment and be willing to still deliver passes with accuracy down the field, up the field, across the field, it's a great testament to who he is as a person and who he was as a football player. That play, I mean, if you go back and just watch Javon Kurtz coming off the ball, it's almost if he anticipated a snap, and, you know, he was really on Kurtz throwing arm, so just another half a second, you know, maybe that play doesn't happen. But, you know, Javon had been touching Kurt pretty much all day, and, you know, if I had this guy, this freak, you know, really touch him up again and still deliver a pass, one of the passes of the ages, I think that play will be shown not only the rest of this weekend in August, in the first week of August, but also for the history of the NFL. It was one of the greatest plays that was ever that's ever happened. And Kurt being at the helm of it, you know, it was pretty much icing on the cake to one of the greatest season a quarterback could ever have in our league.
Before I let you go, I mentioned you're a Hall of Fame wide receiver in my book. It's going to happen. And without Kurt Warner, where does your career go? Is it of the same magnitude from your view?
Well, yeah, I'm one of those positive guys, man. I believe that it was going to happen. I always like to say that the people that were in my life were there for a reason. And that bodes well with, you know, my athletic career. Those who coached me, those who played with me and around me, I believe they were there for a reason. I'm very happy, very excited that I had the opportunity to play with Kurt and, you know, to become friends with Kurt. He's a great person, great dad, great man of God. And his ability to play football was, you know, at times unmatched. He came in doing some stuff that had never been seen. So just to be a part and be around of it, you know, I was excited. I was excited about it.
Isaac, great stuff. Appreciate the time and the visit. Best of luck to you down the road. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's Isaac Bruce with us, finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame on Kurt Warner, going in on August 5th, Saturday, August 5th. Kurt will be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, one of the great wide receivers in the history of the National Football League. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat.
Welcome back. We're at U.S. Airways, formerly known as now Talking Stick Resort, with the Suns press conference coming up later today, and GCU and U of A basketball press conference here in about 10 minutes. We'll head upstairs for that. Plenty of content up on the website as the day progresses. Again, U of A head basketball coach Sean Miller and GCU head basketball coach Dan Marley together here announcing they'll have a doubleheader being played here at Talking Stick coming up this coming basketball season. I think it's great news for downtown, great news for college basketball and Hoopaholic fans, great news for college fans. And again, I'm all about big events in the Valley. This will turn out to be a big event for GCU and for U of A. That's really good stuff. So the Diamondbacks play today as well. We'll walk over to the game once we're done here and with the Suns press conference at 11:40 with Alan Williams, talking about his extension and maybe a little bit about Kyrie Irving today from the Suns. I'm sure they're going to be asked about it, and it'll be We really can't comment. There's a lot of speculation. We're going to do the best we can do to try to improve a team. Yada, 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 yada. The Diamondbacks, they lost last night, did not play especially well, I didn't believe, after the first six innings. Seventh inning, J.J. Hoover came in, wasn't good. J.J. Hoover was sent down today, this morning. Ruby De La Rosa was put on the DL this morning, so the Diamondbacks are already active today. And they have Patrick Corbin throwing today. It's a day game at 12:40 start against the Braves, and we'll be over there to see if they can take two of three. Tonight, Eric and I actually are going to be doing a shoot with Larry Fitzgerald tonight. We'll have some of that on the show tomorrow. Looking forward to being with Fitz. So one local story that caught my eye. I'm going to save the CTE study for more time back in studio. And that is the high school state championship football game, the 6A finals. They're not going to play it this year at the University of Phoenix Stadium. And this is important at a grassroots level for us. I think it's unfortunate on one hand because I know the players – like being in the same facility as the Cardinals. I'll tell you, on the other hand, this is why I have said we need a facility that is built for around 12 to 15,000 seats. We have the big one at UOP. Got it. We have Chase Field, where this game will probably end up being played, but it's still too big. I think for our arenas and building forward, maybe it's the soccer team that gets it figured out. Maybe when Rising FC gets the MLS application done and they build their new facility of 20,000, they can have the locker rooms, they can have the proper facilities. I think Rising's current stadium probably a little too small there at the 101, 202. But the 6A football championship final this year, they're not going to be able to play it out at UOP, and they're looking for a place to do it. Even if you play it at Chase Field, because those games draw about 10 to 12, maybe 15,000 fans, it doesn't mean they're not important. But when you play them at Sun Devil Stadium or you play them at UOP, it looks like 200 people are there. And on the surface, sounds good. I just think as time has gone by, it proves again that we don't have that mid-sized facility that we need here in the marketplace. High schools should be able to have that. Same with junior colleges. Same with events that are of a magnitude that aren't going to draw here at Talking Stick, the 18, 19,000. But they're also bigger than what we have with Rising FC's stadium right now, too. So somewhere in between. And I do think there's some business people that are looking into that here in the Valley. It's very important. We're going to head upstairs now to be with Dan Marley and Sean Miller. And throughout the day, we'll have plenty of content up on the website. Check it out, sports360az.com. Jared Nielsen, our chairman of the board, overseeing this fine, fine production. Edwin Rodriguez helping out today as well. Appreciate his support. Eric's already upstairs. Jordan Haley working on content. Thanks for you to make us part of your day. If you missed any part of this, it repeats over and over, and you can also download the podcast. The podcast hits at around 1 o'clock, 1:30 every day. That is Arizona time. You can check out any of what you missed from earlier. Please support our sponsors. Without their support, we're not here doing this. We're totally self-funded. Appreciate them for being on board. Have yourself a great day.
Thanks for checking out this podcast on sports360az.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.